Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, Living an Inspired Life. This episode, I wanted to talk about the five stages of grief. And I remember hearing about it when I was younger, you know, in college, but I mean, I never really put much thought into it until I was at my Toastmasters meeting, and one of my Toastmasters, one of my fellow Toastmasters, her name's Jillian, I was kind of just telling her how, you know, it's so weird because I feel so depressed these days, so sad and lonely. And I was telling her, like, when the split up first happened back in January, I didn't feel sad at all. I was, if anything, I was angry. And it really was a powerful emotion. It got me, you know, like, really motivated. I was, like, hitting the gym. I was going out, you know, going to Shakespeare plays and, you know, going to different events, this outdoor orchestra event. You know, I was just trying to keep myself busy and almost rub it in my ex's face, you know, like, I'm having so much fun, you know, now that we're split up. Like, I was really upset and angry, and I was like, I didn't feel sad at all, but now I just feel the anger's gone and I don't feel angry anymore, and I just feel so sad. If anything, I feel ashamed of myself, of how I acted. And she goes, oh, you're going through the five stages of guilt, of grief, not guilt, of grief. And I was like, okay, I guess. And she goes, no, really. She was like, you know, research it. She was like, it's the five stages of grief. First you were angry, and, you know, now you're sad. And she was like, you're moving through the stages of grief. And she was like, it's a good thing, you know, because you're getting closer to acceptance. And I was like, oh, interesting. So I'm driving up right now to Gallatin, Tennessee, which is about a good 4-hour drive. It's close to Hendersonville, where my daughters are staying with my ex. And I just started feeling, you know, the painful feelings of sadness and wishing that I could be with my daughters again, you know, wishing they would talk to me, wishing, you know, that, you know, they weren't so mad at me, especially my older daughter. My younger daughter's not mad at me, actually. She's 8 years old. I don't think she's really able to process, you know, the tough emotions. I know she's stressed because it's a tough situation, you know. Her life is totally changed, and she misses her daddy now sometimes, but she doesn't really know how to work out those emotions. My older daughter, she has negative feelings towards me now. You know, now she hates me, or she thinks she does. But I know she doesn't, because when I go and spend time with them, I can tell she still wants to love me. She still wants to like me. You know, we laugh and we joke and we have a good time until it comes down to, like, you know, when I ask him, like, you know, do you want to come spend some time with dad? No. You know, it's like, no. They feel, you know, she says she feels uncomfortable with me now, and she doesn't like me now, and, you know, she feels the need to side with her mom. And I was telling her, like, I'm really sad that you feel that you have to choose sides. You don't have to choose sides. You know, I want you to love mom. She's your mom. You know, but I'm your dad too. You can, you know, you can be the daughter to both of us, you know, like, but yeah, I mean, I understand now what I was doing, because, they're saying that it's not like a linear thing, and everyone grieves differently, and people move back and forth into the different stages, and one of the stages is called bargaining. And because while driving up there, I was listening to some YouTube videos about the five stages of grief, and it really helps. It's helping me to understand what I'm going through, these powerful emotions, the excruciating pain, the feeling of hopelessness and despair and depression and suicidal thoughts. I understand now what's going on and what's happening, and understanding and knowing what's going on, it doesn't make it it doesn't make the pain go away. It is, you know, the pain is still there, but I feel like I can experience it differently now, understanding why the pain is there, you know, and what's going on, why I'm feeling the way I feel. Understanding that when I was angry at first, and I really did, I blamed my ex for turning the kids against me and using the kids as a weapon, weaponizing them against me and to hurt me, and it really did. And I was just so angry and mad at her, but now, you know, I understand she was upset too, you know, and I shouldn't have, because I went on Facebook, I went on my Facebook page and streamed live one night while I was walking my dogs. I drank, you know, like 2 bottles of wine, and I just was not thinking straight. I was angry and drunk, not a good combination, and I just went at her, you know. I just laid into her and just, you know, try to make her look so bad. And it made me look bad, actually, you know. And my daughter saw it. And I think that's a really big reason why, not just the things that my wife told her, but I think that kind of confirmed the things that she was telling her about me. And my daughter called me a monster, you know, and she was saying I try to make mom look like a monster when I'm actually the monster. And I told her, I'm sorry, I was angry, I shouldn't have done that, but you know, what's done is done. And I felt really guilty and ashamed about, you know, really embarrassed. But now I understand why I did that. You know, I was moving through the stages of, and it's not to excuse the behavior or justify it, it was wrong. It was a horrible thing that I did. It was a terrible decision. And I made a huge mistake. But it does help ease the pain a little bit, knowing that I was first in denial. At first, I didn't really think that we were going to really get a divorce. I just thought that this was just another one of those big fights, and she usually threatened divorce. And, you know, the past couple times, I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then, as you know, as I held firm and I stood my ground, like, no, you said you wanted a divorce, and so let's do it. You know, I'm tired of this too. You know, I can never please you, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this emotional roller coaster, you know. And I just always assumed the girls would stay with me, and because, you know, she usually didn't want to. She would usually just want to dip. She didn't want to take the girls eat anyways. Every time she threatened to leave. So I just knew that it was just always going to be the girls and I. I never could have imagined that I would be in this situation alone without the girls. But, you know, every time I stood firm, she would threaten to kill herself. The past couple of times we broke up, or we tried to, she threatened to kill herself. And so then I would give in. I didn't want that on my conscience. But then I realized she's not really going to kill herself. It was a control tactic, you know, to get me to, you know, give in. And I told her, the last time was the last time, you know. I was like, this is the last time, it's not gonna work anymore, you know, but I'm willing to work it out, you know, for the kids, you know. So this last time when it happened, I stood my ground. I told her the last time was the last time, and she threatened to kill herself again. I told her it's not gonna work. And she said she's really going to do it. And she was out in Arizona. So I told her, at least send the girls. Don't, you know, like, be patient. You know, don't be so impatient. You're going to kill yourself anyways. You know, push it off a week. You know, let me buy plane tickets for the girls. Send the girls back here to me. That way they'll be safe with me and they won't have to see that. You know, they won't have to see you kill yourself. You know, I was like, I don't want the girls to see that. But I knew that she wasn't going to anyways, and she didn't send the girls back either. You know, she refused to send them back. And then, you know, and so I just thought, you know, when she comes back to the East Coast, you know, because her father passed away, and that's why they were out there. And that was another thing. I really felt like it was the timing, you know, like she knew that how bad it would make me look if I stood my ground. And I told her, okay, yeah, let's go through it with the divorce. I think she knew how bad it would make me look to do that at that time when they just lost, you know, when she just lost her father, when my father-in-law just passed away. And I was angry, I was upset, and I was just like, no, you know, like, I'm standing my ground. But then I thought that, you know, I really didn't think we were gonna actually go through with the divorce. But then when I got the paperwork, I didn't even sign it and get it notarized for a while. I just had it in my car because I knew that once I got it notarized and sent it back in, that was it. And a part of me just didn't want it to be over, you know, like, I was in that anger and then denial, you know. Well, they say denial comes first and then anger, but then I was going back into denial, you know, like, no, it can't really be over. But then, you know, after a couple arguments, you know, every time I would go up and see the girls, and I would just be so heartbroken driving back home, you know, just spending a few hours with the girls. And as soon as the ice breaks and we start to get to, you know, warmed up, they warm up to me, it's like, it's time to go, you know, and I have to say bye, and I'm crying. And I would call her and just, you know, beg and, you know, plead, and can we please try to work it out? And we would just start getting into arguments again. She would argue, you know, like, she would get really mean and attack and bring up all the past stuff that, you know. And then whenever I would try to remind her, like, well, let me, you know, I'm sorry I did that, but let me remind you, it was not unprovoked. This is what happened. Oh, you just want to bring up the past. I was like, why? I'm only bringing up the past because I'm trying to explain why I acted that way, to remind you that it was not unprovoked, you know. And so anyways, after a few arguments, I just realized, yeah, it's probably over. You know, it's not going to get any better, you know. And so then I signed the paperwork and mailed it in. And I think once I did that, it really sunk in that it really is over. Not just the marriage, but my relationship with my daughters, my girls, you know. It's like, I just, oh my God, it's like a death of a relationship, you know. Like, I just realized it's never going to be the same again. And I've lost my daughters, you know, like, I've lost them emotionally. And it was, I guess that's when I started to feel extreme sadness and loneliness and hopelessness. And the pain was just so unbearable. It was excruciating. It literally felt heavy in my chest. Like, I couldn't breathe, and my stomach would hurt, you know, and, like, I would get headaches. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, you know. I would start feeling anxiety, physical anxiety, shakiness, you know. Oh, man. And that's when I had suicidal thoughts, serious suicidal thoughts. I called my ex, and, like, there was one day where it started in the morning. I just stood in the kitchen, unable to make a decision of what to do. I stood there in the kitchen just feeling confused, disoriented. Like, I couldn't decide what to do next. Like, I had all these, you know, options swirling in my head. Do I make breakfast? Do I cook? Do I let the dogs out first? I gotta get them breakfast. Like, I just stood there frozen, unable to make a decision of what to do next. And then I started feeling worried about myself. I started feeling shaky. And then I just made myself decide, you know, and do one thing first, you know, let the dogs out. And then once I let the dogs out, you know, like, I could, and anyways, it was just really weird. So then all day I was just fighting the feelings of sadness and just missing my daughters. And this was just recently, a few weeks ago, probably, you know, less than a month ago, but maybe a few weeks ago. And I seriously thought about just killing myself. And out of desperation, I called my ex, and it was not helpful at all. I mean, if anything, I felt like, wow, she really doesn't care. She really doesn't care if I killed myself or not. Like, if anything, I feel like I'm inconveniencing her. You know, like, if it sounded like I was being such a big bother And, you know, she kind of mocked me, and she was saying, like, you know, do you think the kids will ever, you know, do you think the girls can respect you if you're acting weak like this? And I was like, I'm not trying to act weak. It's just, this is what I'm feeling. Like, this is really how I'm feeling right now. Like, I feel like I can't breathe. And she was like, if you're going to talk like this, you know, then don't call me. And she hung up. And the very next thought was, I should probably just kill myself. She doesn't even care. Then the next thought was, she doesn't even care. So then, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just this feeling like, wow, she really doesn't care. So then maybe I should just move on with my life instead of kill myself, you know, because I don't really want to die. And so then I texted a friend of mine, asked if he had a moment to talk. And I told him that I'm seriously considering suicidal thoughts. You know, I'm entertaining suicidal thoughts, and I don't want to. I don't want to kill myself, you know. But I just feel so... I just feel so sad, and it hurts, it's painful, excruciatingly painful, you know. And I was telling him, my chest feels heavy, and it hurts, and I can't breathe. And he was very helpful, and, you know, he listened to me, he gave me some suggestions. And so then I called the suicide hotline the next morning on my way to work. And that conversation really helped. And, man, it's just... And now I understand that was part of the stages of grief. Depression and loneliness, sadness. And now I feel like I'm actually kind of still there. Like, you know, they're saying that sometimes you can go through, you know, two different stages at once or go back and forth. And so I feel like I'm right now, you know, coming out of the depression, because I'm starting to realize that it really is over, and I just have to focus on the things that I can control, that I do have the power to control, and focus on my own life and, you know, trying to just take better care of myself, because I have to care about myself, you know. I have to care about me rather than expect someone else to care about me. I need to care about me, you know. But then I feel like I was doing the bargaining as well, you know. I was like, you know, just asking my wife and my daughters. This last time I was up there doing Halloween costume shopping, just last week, I was just begging them and asking them while we're having dinner, like, could we please just try to work it out and, you know, move back in with Daddy, and we could try to be a family together, and I promise I'll be better, you know. I promise I'll try not to yell at Mom, you know, and get loud. When, well, actually, she's the one that gets loud and angry with me and starts cursing and calling me names, and eventually I snap and I lose my temper and I start yelling back. And so I was telling them, like, you know, I understand, you know, now I need to control my temper, and I'm really sorry that I get mad and angry and I yell at Mommy. I won't do that anymore, and I'll try really hard not to. I'll really, you know, just try to be aware of my emotions, and I'm sorry. And, you know, I was just begging and telling them that I'll be better. I'll try to be a better dad and a better husband. And my older daughter just shut down, and she was just like saying no. And I was asking her, like, why are you so angry with me, you know, like, what can I do to try to help, you know, you forgive me, you know, what can I do to get you to forgive me, and, you know, what can I do to prove how much I love you, you know, like, get you to understand that I'm really sorry, and I'm ashamed of myself, I'm embarrassed for the mistakes that I made, and I'll try to do better, you know. And she was just like, nope, you know. And I think my wife kind of was encouraging it too, you know. It's not like she discourages it. And she kind of uses my older daughter as an excuse, you know. But I realize now what I was doing, I was bargaining, you know. I'll be better, I'll do better, I'll, you know, like, let's... But that, I think once I realized that that's not gonna work. It's over, you know? The relationship that we had, the family that we were, it's gone, you know? Our marriage is dead. You know, it's died, it's gone. And I have to accept that. And along with the marriage goes the family, right? The family that we once were. The family that I once had is gone. Now it's a new dynamic, you know? Now we have to learn to co-parent. And as difficult it is, as it is to deal with my ex as a co-parent, you know, I realize this is the situation. This is my new life, my new normal. And the sooner I can accept it, the sooner I can, you know, move past the loneliness, the depression, you know, the bargaining stage, the denial, the anger, and I can finally come to accept the situation for what it is and move past the stages of grief. And I'm still gonna feel the pain. I realize that now. And several of the YouTube videos were explaining that the pain will always be there. The pain of the loss, it will always be there, but it won't be as bad. It won't be that unbearable feeling, that excruciating pain. You know, it's more an understanding of where that pain is coming from, accepting it, and, you know, it will come and go. It will pass. And I think that this is really helpful to understand, you know, what the mind is doing, how the mind is working in order to try to deal with this traumatic event in my life. Divorce really is, wow, it's the hardest thing. It's probably one of the hardest things a man can go through. I mean, other than losing your child, like actually losing your child to death, you know? Because I feel like the pain feels like I've lost my children. But I know that it would probably be worse if I actually lost them. You know, they lost their lives. They're no longer alive. That, I think, would be much more difficult. But second to losing, you know, a loved one, you know, a family member that's close to you, I think that divorce is probably one of the hardest things that a man can go through. It really is. It's like a loss of identity. Man, and it's so hurtful, and it's so painful, and just the feelings of despair, sadness. And I've heard of other guys struggling with this, especially when their children were involved and they weren't able to communicate with their children anymore, and their kids hate them. You know, I've heard of men going through this kind of difficult situation, and I you know, I felt for them. I just kind of felt bad for them, whatever, you know. But I never really thought about it that much, you know, because it was just so far removed from me, and I knew that I was never gonna get divorced, you know. But now, wow, this is helping me, I think, become a more sensitive, more empathetic person, more open to accept others and feel the pain that others might be feeling, you know. And be more understanding and sensitive to other people's feelings, especially when they're going through something that's difficult in their lives. I think this situation is really helping me. And I've said it before, but I feel like I'm really realizing it more and more every day, that, you know, when I come through this, when I finally get myself through this and move past these stages of grief, when I finally, because I feel like I'm close now, because I went through the denial, I went through the anger, I went through the bargaining, I went through the depression and loneliness, and now I am closer to acceptance, and I feel like I'm right there, you know. It's just, you know, because I'm feeling so depressed, feeling so sad, and it really overwhelms me sometimes, those feelings of sadness, it's kind of letting me know that I'm not fully prepared to move on yet, you know, and I want to allow myself to feel it. I want to allow myself to really grieve and really feel the sadness and the pain, because through that pain comes the healing. And this one psychologist, he was saying that it's very tempting during this phase of grief to turn to alcohol or drugs to try to numb the pain. And I'm so glad I listened to Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection, because that's what started to give me the idea, the thought that maybe I shouldn't try to numb this pain, you know, and just really feel it, be with my difficult emotions, you know, really be with them and work through them, you know. And the psychiatrist was saying, if I do use alcohol or drugs to try to numb the pain, then it will prevent me from moving past it, you know. And yes, and sometimes it causes people to get stuck in that stage, and they're, you know, they'll have unresolved grief, and they can stay in a clinically depressed state. And so I think that it's really important for me to feel the pain, allow myself to feel the pain, you know, allow myself to cry if I need to. And that way I can really move past it, and through the pain will come the healing that I need. And then when I'm ready, I can finally move into acceptance. And that doesn't mean the pain will go, just be gone, and I'll never feel the pain of sadness and missing my daughters. And, you know, it's not, I'm sure during the holidays and things like that, and when I see pictures of them when they were kids, and, you know, when I got to hold them and just tell them how much I love them each night, these memories will probably still cause me to feel sad. I feel it right now just talking about it. But I'm sure that once I've, you know, moved into acceptance, then I will allow myself to feel the sadness that comes, but then ride it like a wave and let it pass. And things will be better, and I'll be able to focus on my new life, where I will be wiser because of all of this. I'll be more empathetic, more sensitive to the needs of others and the pain and suffering that other people might be going through. I'll be able to feel it more and be more helpful, be of more value to people because of this, you know. And just strive to, you know, accomplish goals that I set for myself, meaningful goals, and make measurable progress towards them each day, so that when my daughters are older, I can be someone that they may want to get to know and may want to even forgive, and they may even want to have a relationship with me again when they're older, if I can show them that, you know, I am a better person because of all this, you know, become somebody that maybe they can feel proud of. And even if they don't, you know, strive to become somebody that I can feel proud of, you know, live a life that I can feel proud of, even though there is this really difficult spot and there were some really terrible mistakes that I've made, where I acted like a horrible person because I was so angry. Even though that happened, I can use all of those experiences to be better in the future. And that way, when I look at my life as a whole, I can feel proud of myself, even though there were moments where I don't feel proud of myself. just accept myself, learn to forgive myself, right? Learn to forgive and accept myself and be kind to myself so that I can extend that out to others, because what we don't have, we cannot give. So by learning to forgive myself, accept myself, and be kind to myself, I hope in the future I will learn to be more forgiving of others, more accepting of others, and more kind as well. I hope anybody who's listening to this, I hope this helps. If you're grieving a loss of any kind, you know, maybe you lost a job, maybe you lost a relationship, maybe you broke up with someone, maybe you're going through a divorce like I am, maybe you lost someone that was really special and close to you, maybe you got injured and you lost the ability to do something that you used to do. You know, whatever it is, whatever loss you've suffered or experienced, use the knowledge of the stages of grief to help understand the strong emotions that you're feeling. And by understanding, we can move through those stages with more awareness and get to that point of acceptance in a way that is not so detrimental to ourselves, right? So we don't behave in a self-destructive way or in a way that's destructive to others. Because like I said, when I was angry, I behaved in a way that was destructive towards my wife. I tried to make her look bad. I went on the attack. And ultimately, that made me look bad. It was self-destructive behavior. And so I think that, maybe had I known and understood what I was going through, and that right now I'm just feeling angry, I'm in the anger stage, you know, let's try to control this anger and not behave in a way that would be destructive to myself or others. And then when I'm, you know, going through the depression and the sadness, and just understanding, okay, this is another stage of grief that I'm going through, I'm going to allow myself to feel it, I'm going to let the depression wash over me, and you know, and then hopefully through the pain, I will be able to move past this. You know, just moving through the stages of grief with more awareness. It doesn't make it any easier, I don't think. I think the pain is still painful, but just knowing why you're feeling the pain, knowing why these emotions are happening, I think really helps. Because, you know, like the famous quote, we cannot control nature by force, only through understanding. I don't think we can force ourselves, you know, into the different stages of grief and, you know, force ourselves to accept the situation. I don't think we can force it. I think we just have to allow ourselves to move through it. And by understanding, we can control the way we move through those stages of grief a little better. Because everyone experiences grief and they go through the stages differently. Everyone does it differently. And, you know, no one can really put a timetable on it and say, you know, you should be getting over this by now. You know, everyone needs to grieve in their own way. But I think when we don't understand this different stages that we're going through, sometimes we can linger a little too long in each stage and prolong the healing. And that's why I think it's important, especially for me, to understand these stages of grief that I'm going through. I really appreciate your time. I hope this was helpful. It was helpful for me just to even talk about this out loud. Oh man. And maybe one day I'll be able to look back on this recording and, you know, realize how helpful it was for me, at least, to really understand the stages of grief that I've gone through and that I'm still going through now, so that I can move towards the final stage of acceptance with more clarity and awareness. I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.